Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Thank you for joining us. Today is May 24th, 2017. It's 8 o'clock in the morning here in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for sharing our station, helping our station grow. This is the one station where you can get a variety of shows, and really the only station where you get two shows that really highlight the disaster of the nuclear industry. And I'm speaking about Libby Halevy's show, Nuclear Hot Seat, which is a don't miss, and mine. And I want to thank you for joining us. Today we have a returning guest. It's a woman who contacted me about an issue that I really was not very familiar with, Erica Dugan. She is a mom, basically, primarily, who basically has suffered from the health effects of living in a community in Tulsa, Oklahoma. She's a well-connected journalist who was a little bit surprised by the response of her industry to her plight. So thank you, Erica, for joining us.
Sure. So I guess on your show, we're the example of what can happen if you have health consequences and then you end up finding how they relate to an industry or something gone wrong in a city and, you know, how that can happen to you. I think that's maybe your interest in my family and how it relates to what you speak about in general. But basically, our specific circumstance is that our oldest child got sick, couldn't get better. We followed the guidance of the medical industry to figure things out with that. And while we were following it, another one of our children became sick and couldn't get better. The other child was born with sickness, got a little bit better, then got very, very ill and continued to stay ill. And then it went on to myself, to our pets, and my husband does have some findings too, even though he spent a little less time in the house than we did because I had a business out of the home and was juggling kids. And we ended up eventually finding it. We found a diagnosis for the four of us and started treatment and then didn't progress on the treatment like they'd like us to. Ended up finding exposures and those related back in some ways to what we all had and in some ways not. So that is where we ended up with. And of course, when you bring the pets in, you know, there's only two things that can affect everybody and then affect the pets too. It's your food and your air. Well, I guess your water and your air, because you don't eat the same food. Well, we didn't feed our pets table food. We fed them, you know, dog food. So it only could relate back to the air and the water. But our testing and our findings in our home showed that there was two chemicals in our city water that experts felt severely affected us all. And those chemicals were bromo, dichloromethane, and chloroform. And with how that came into our home, our line, not just our home, our community's line, is debatable. There are talks about how they use chlorinated products that cause those things to ramp up. There are talks about how industry brings in inorganic and organics into the line that causes those things to ramp up. So that's the gist of it. And I think what we were going to talk about today is how when you find those things and you get to that truth, you think that, you know, the truth is supposed to set you free. But in these kinds of instances, the truth often causes you to fall in and be more and more marginalized, which means that basically your situation is not so important. And you're really kind of, you become insignificant. And why would that happen to you? And why would you feel that way? I guess systems and government entities need to keep public confidence, and they need to keep public confidence in order to keep order. So I guess that's why you then have to become marginalized with this truth that you found, because you know, that truth is a pretty scary truth, that, you know, your neighbor down the street has cancer and the next door neighbor next to them has cancer, and the guy on the other block that suddenly died of a strange lung cancer that popped up might not have been because he smoked 25 years ago or whatever. And so those things start coming into play, having questions, and that, you know, causes a lot of friction and can mess with public confidence. So I think that's why you become marginalized. But I guess we could talk about today how that's done and how that affects you and how you don't get the health care you need and how you don't get the services that you worked for, that you paid for, that you thought you would have if a disaster occurred. And so I guess that's what we were going to talk about today.
Well, I'm really sorry to hear you. I know I asked you to synopsize all of that, but that's a pretty heavy burden. I mean, you guys live with this, and it sounds like that it's not just you that's affected in your former community. It was many of your neighbors that were affected. And when you reached out to City Hall, I mean, this is the thing. Is there no champion of truth in your state or anyone that's willing to speak out and say, we need to really, I mean, to find the source of the contamination, first off, in your little synopsis, do you guys know directly where the source came from, or do you have a good, strong idea where it came from?
I guess we have an idea because of some things that experts have brought out to us and because of what we've seen in other areas that have been investigated more. I would say our finding was not as well investigated as it should have been. You know, if you can look at like Flint, Michigan, those were similar findings. But we didn't have the investigator to come in and figure out, you know, who abused power, who didn't get to the end of it. No, we never had that.
Did you guys have brown water?
We did at some point. We did have.
Wow,
brown
really?
Water. Yeah, and along the way, we just thought, oh, that's because it's like dirt coming in from the line.
Yeah.
And there were holes in the lines as we went through this. You know, the pipes have been replaced just like they replaced the pipes in Flint. And actually, they did ours, I think, before that. And, you know, I think that does definitely help. If you saw what those pipes look like, you wouldn't want to drink the water that was going through those, and they were broken down and they were in pieces. I don't know how the water was moving through the system when I saw some of those pipes being pulled out, just as a lay person, not as some expert that understands the plumbing system, the pipes, you know? And so it is, it was definitely needed and definitely a good move to make those replacements. But, you know, it's not the whole scenario, as we learned from experts who worked in water treatment plants and water companies. And we learned that these experts in the water treatment plants had been telling their own supervisors for years, hey, you know, this is getting in here and it doesn't belong here. We've got to spend money on these granular activated carbon filters. And then even some of them would say, okay, let's try it. But then the filters filled up too fast, start costing too much money, so they couldn't do that. It wasn't financially feasible. So we learned a lot at trying to figure out how can we make this safe again? How can we stop being sick? How can our neighbors stop being sick? How can we get better? Is there a way to make it better? You know, we were questioning that just for our own, you know, our own safety, our own family. And we chose to learn about that and try to learn what our community was or was not doing to figure out if it was an answer to stay there and trust our community or if our community was untrustworthy. And what we found out is this is a pretty widespread problem.
Yeah,
it wasn't just in our community. And it was something that was known, but there was a lot of people who were using it for financial opportunity, for a business model to, you know, sell more pipes, to sell more gaskets, to sell more substances like chloramine, and not really looking at, I don't know, there was a twofold piece to that. There was, what do we need to make it better, but what can we sell while we're trying to make it better? And that was kind of a disturbing way for us to see how those things are looked at. But honestly, honestly, that is the way it's looked at. That is the way we do things. And it's not just our country. If you look back, it's how we solve problems. If you look back at Queen Elizabeth and Winston Churchill, there, you know, there was the coal industry in England, and there was a problem with that pollution, and it was attaching to, I guess, air molecules or something. And, you know, I'm not really technical enough to speak on that, but it was causing the fog, and a fog that was poisonous, that was dangerous, that was making people ill, that was putting extra burdens on the health system there and causing lots of deaths. And so this isn't a new problem. Our problem of we want lights, we want energy, we want phones, we want it, you know,
We want to have the modern lifestyle.
Right. We don't want to have candles. So we have to find solutions, and we have to find solutions that are safe. And it's our government's responsibility to find that balance for us and help us maintain that balance. But it's a very hard balance, and it does cause health consequence when it is not in balance.
Well, I think part of their responsibility is to change the narrative that profit over people is a disaster. Like, what we're seeing now is that people, you're being part of what we want to talk about is how you get marginalized. Really, literally, it's almost like a governmental cultural method. You know, I'm taking a public policy and democracy class. The teacher always says this, that culture eats policy for lunch. You can have everything written on the books, but if the culture within the governmental agency is to just marginalize the people, push it off, don't ignore it, let's don't face it, it doesn't matter how many laws on the books we have written. And you're living through that yourself right now. So
yeah, and I guess explain how that's being done to us. Like, here's a clear example. In the past few weeks, I don't know, something has changed in policy or discussion of health insurance or something where my child and I are on an IG therapy medication that replaces our plasma cells that has been found. You know, maybe it's that our B cells are damaged from this exposure and our bone marrow doesn't make antibodies right, so we can't fight infection, so we've had to have this replacement therapy. And all of a sudden, they've decided to take the replacement therapy away. And I don't know if it's because they just replaced the pipes in our area that we moved to and they want to see if it works. I don't know if it's because the insurance decided that maybe if this is from an exposure, they don't want to pay for our medicine anymore. I don't know if it's because they made our physician who was helping us fire us, and she's continued to write the medicine for several months, and someone figured that out, and someone's like, no, you can't write it anymore. But yeah, because you fired them, and so they
got rid of your doctor because she was helping you?
Yes, that's happened a number of times. It's not the first time. It's been a pattern, yes. And she was actually speaking up and saying, yes, these things are happening. Yes, this is true. You can't minimize it. And so then she had, I don't know, she had to get rid of us. And they try to twist it and make it look like it was our fault. We did something wrong. That's how the marginalizing happened. It's the pattern that we've noticed. And sometimes even when we finally get someone to help us, in order for them to help us, they also have to ding us in another way. In her instance, I know that the insurance paid her to help us and then took her money back and told her. And, of course, I wasn't able to find this out from her because she has a contract with the insurer and she wasn't supposed to tell us, you know, anything like that. That's part of their contract. But from some of her staff that was leaving the office, I guess, because they're not there anymore, but they told us that her payments were taken back from the insurance company for us. And if she did not give the payments back, they weren't going to pay her for any subsequent patients. So, you know, this is the kind of thing.
Why would they? What was the penalty? Because she was being honest and open. Is that why they didn't want to acknowledge it?
It sure feels like that. Or
so this is actually collusion with the insurance companies also, not just the perpetrators who are creating and putting pressure on local governments. It also comes through medical care for providers.
Well, and so you see why, you know, the same things that are on the forefront in our country anyway. And now you can start to see why, because the trickle-down effect for this big problem of needing to have resources, natural resources, energy resources that are clean, that are good, trickles back to if it's not clean, if it's not good, it affects the health system, their cost, how much it costs to take care of the people, what they need. It affects the school systems. It affects the work systems because you're missing work, you're missing school, you're needing services at school that the school then has to provide. So, you know, you can see how those are the main items on the forefront of our country, and you can see why and how they trickle down to each other, the old economics model, and how they relate to each other, and why they're all very stressed. And we have to solve the energy balance solution in order to take the stress off of those health models next under that, and then the education model under that. And we've seen that ourselves just in our own home, how that trickles down. Like, you know, if you miss a lot of school, then you got to try to work with the school to make up your time and get an extra teacher to help you. And it's because of the illness, and then what you spend out of your own pocket to keep insurance, to pay, make copays, to make deductibles, and reaching, you know, so we've seen that in our own home model. Not to mention how this has become so widespread and affected many families. And then so that those models have trickled over to the insurance models, the health system models, even our hospital models. And the good thing I've seen out of this, even though it's been so devastating, is an oil man and banker has recently stepped up to give you faith, Lonnie. A man by the name of George Kaiser, there's an article in the Tulsa World last week where he actually spoke up and he said, you know, when are we at the bottom? Have we reached the bottom? And he even says you need to start taxing the oil and gas industries that are taking out so that they can put back. And he explained how we gave them tax breaks and they were our biggest industry. And, you know, I don't know if that's what actually caused our specific upset, but there are experts who say it is. But
the fracking from fracking.
Well, that's what experts say, but you know, they never ran mine all the way down. Like it should have been run all the way down to tell me that. So, but I did find it very interesting that he is a well-respected member of the community, has been one to give back to the community. I know that they do nice things like, you know, put a big fountain in the city and
not just put the fountain there,
but give the endowment to run the fountain.
Right.
For like a century, you know?
Yeah, so to make it work.
They've been good to understand. You can't just put this here. You have to make sure it will always work, you know? So I found it very interesting that he actually stepped up finally and wrote a letter in the paper, even published it, because we talked about that, how there have been other sides that the paper decides that it's dangerous for them to publish. But in the paper even published that, he said, hey, it's time. It's time for the energy people to stop taking all the breaks and letting everybody else have the suffrage. And it's time for us to, you know, if you're going to go through and do this, then you need to put back into the systems. It's kind of like the old cigarette companies when the blame started coming through, then, hey, we need you to put in, and we need the people who are going to use you to put in. So it's kind of that scenario I'm seeing play out that I've never seen before. And I find that interesting and hopeful that might take some of the load off, because what we still face with here, we've got the medication taken away. And when it was taken away before, our child quickly got into a life-threatening state. And it felt like the system was still trying to say, well, we, you know, replaced the pipe so these people are better. So they let her suffer in the life-threatening state until it was very, very life-threatening, to the point where she was in, you know, respiratory distress. And we had to find a doctor that would hospitalize her. And but then still they came at us in the hospital with a different group that, you know, tried to minimize things in the record as we got her through that. And then we did eventually get the IG therapy back. Now, here we are again. They're taking it away. And I don't want to go there again. And there are consequences to your tissue, your bones, when you're a growing child, when someone lets you get in that state that she's never gotten back out of. And they want to risk putting her there again. And she's only 11 years old.
Oh, my God.
And that she has thankfully lived to be 11 years old is how we have to look at this, I guess. But,
yeah.
So that... We took her out of state just a few days ago to try to get an out-of-state provider to give her her medicine back and to get her another specialist, because we did have a letter from her most current primary physician that said she is in urgent need of an immunologist, she is in urgent need of a cardiologist, of a rheumatologist, and he wrote us those letters. So that helped us to be able to get that. So we got there, we're ready to meet with the doctor, and a fellow comes in the room, and I say, you know, we're here to meet with this doctor. Why are you here? And he's like, well, I work with her. And I'm like, okay, you have to, you know, I'm not taking a substitute. And goes through our story with us, because they're supposed to get a firsthand account. So went through the long story and talked about all the tests she's had that proves we have this condition and that they are valid tests, and all the documentation we have that we've given them that proves the valid test, and get through that. And then a man comes and pulls him out of the room, tells him he can't talk to us anymore. And we have a witness besides our family. And we actually have other documentation of this happening to prove that this isn't just, you know, some crazy scenario we've made up. And basically the man that pulls him out says he's the clinic manager and that our doctor works for him, and she wasn't scheduled that day and we're not allowed to see her. And she's the expert in immunology and rheumatology, why we picked her, because she understands how those two specialties work together and why these things are playing off each other wrong.
Did he say why you're not allowed to see her?
And he says that she just wasn't scheduled. And then he says she had a meeting. And then he said she was scheduled in another clinic. So you can see how the stories change. But
Erica, why do you think that this pattern of, is it because you're vocal? It's because you have spoken out? Or do you think that all the victims that attempt to get real help from your former city go through this same type of pattern of pressure from the medical industry?
Well, I do know that our diagnosis is expensive. That IG product is expensive, so it is a definite financial thing. But I do know that there are people who have been on it for life and don't get questioned, don't get tested, and so that's very interesting. There is another family from Oregon. Well, I think they were actually from California or Nevada, but they ended up in a scenario like ours after they found mold exposures in their home. So there's something with this environmental exposure, and the healthcare industry doesn't want to cover it, or and the insurance industry or something. There's something there, because there's a family with our same underlying diagnosis, which is a primary immune deficiency, that ended up in Oregon looking for specialists there after this same scenario had happened to them. I don't know if like their medicine was taken away or just their care or what the specifics, but they ended up in Oregon looking for another specialist, and their children were taken from them by child services because they were met with a false accusation of that they were taking their children to too many doctors and they weren't even sick. And is my understanding of the case. I'm not an expert on it, but and you can, you know, find that was in the media in Oregon.
Wow.
The children were
I think I remember seeing something about it, but they were related. Now, were you in contact with them? Have you ever reached out to them?
Actually, we met them. They were a long time ago. We remember we went to a conference to learn about our diagnosis and learn about the treatments before we put our children on this treatment. We were going to make a decision for them to have cells replaced in their body by donors. And we just felt like we needed more information before we made this decision for them, for their lives. And we went to the conference to learn about everything about it and make sure that this was true, make sure that they had the right thing for us, and talk to other families. And we met them there, coincidentally, because there are a lot of people who have like one or you know, one child, or maybe a parent and a child, but there weren't a lot of people who had multiple children with this diagnosis. And we've met, I would say we've met a handful over the years, but there's more people that are like, my one son has this and my other daughter has the little thing. But, you know, so we remember this family because they had two children that were very affected, just like ours. And they ended up being on the Extreme Makeover Home Edition, and the Ty, the Extreme Makeover guy, came in and remade their house and tried to make, you know, all like their air system safe. And we were very interested. We're like, that could we make changes like that? You know, is that what we need to do?
So
we were very interested. So I was actually, when this new doctor had us look for specialists, I was actually looking for a specialist in some of the states where I knew I had support, where I knew I had family.
Right.
And I Googled, you know, immunology specialist in Nevada. And I was, you know, and I came up with this story, and I was just disgusted and sick at my stomach. I showed my husband, and we were just both, oh my gosh, this is like what's kind of happening to us. And this happened to them after we met them, and we never knew. We missed it. You know, we missed this media. We missed this story. How awful. I mean, if we could have told somebody, we know that it's right. They really have this. Why would they go to the conference? You know, you don't get any money for paying to go to the conference.
So, right.
Just crazy things like that show you that this problem is more widespread, but we aren't all able to talk to each other forever. We're all just.
This is why they keep us. This is why they don't report it. This is why no one talks about it. Like, this is why I'm very, very grateful to have this radio show, because I am on 5 days a week and I want to give voice to activists and to people who are victims like yourself, because you're not really, you're sort of like me. I'm not really an activist by nature. I did this because of when I realized how catastrophic Fukushima was, I'm like, wow, people need to know. I kept unpeeling the onion and have realized, and in fact, that's why I'm talking to you. I realized that it's not just nuclear. Like, I came into this thinking that the nuclear industry was out of control. It's the whole industrial complex that we've developed. The medical industry is collusive, as you know. The food industry, I mean, we are way off track on how major systems can be run. There's no accountability for the polluters or for the people who perpetrate harm. Like, your family is how much money have you put out just trying to go find doctors? I mean, you travel to another state, you're reaching out to people, you've occupied, your whole career has probably gotten sidetracked because of all the illnesses in your family. You're a journalist by trade. But yet, you know, you have to take care of your children who are catastrophically ill. I mean, in order for them to grow up and become, they can't just go to school and you can just go to work. This is sidetracked so much. This is the thing where I think we need to change the conversation and reframe it. Economically, denying the harm that these pollutants cause is far more costly than any of the profit that they're going to make. Think of how much productivity we would have if all of us who have been affected haven't had to deal with all of these things.
Right. And our laws are supposed to protect this. But, yeah. You know,
so well, that's what I mean. You know, culture beats policy any day of the week, because really we have laws. I mean, we have laws that should snap them right into place, and penalties should be had, and people should just be doing it. But as in your case, you couldn't even go see your doctor. You went to go see a new doctor, and they kicked you out of the office. That's an outrage.
We were able to meet with administration and really talk through things, and we were able to see that doctor, but we still left there without the medicine. We were, you know, basically told if we relocated there in the next 6 to 8 weeks, they would probably write the medicine, but I don't know that they would treat her other infection that was on board. So we come back to our family table and say, you know, if we could relocate there and make things better and we're sure, let's do it. But then we're like, I'm not sure. And, you know, and then look at this Oregon. Look what happened to the other family when they did relocate to Oregon. And then the system came against them and took their children, but they got them back to end that story. They did get them back, but how awful, how traumatic, how wrong. And the wrongness of that was never made right, it looks like to me. I even talked to their attorney group, and what they told me was basically that state does not like, your state that you're in, I guess, does not like that diagnosis. And so they fought to get the family back out of it.
They don't like the diagnosis, so they take your kids away?
I was like, and how does this happen? Do you understand the ignoration of that statement? And, oh, I'm sorry, we only like cancer here. We don't like immune deficiency. When you get cancer all the way, we're not going to like it either because you had immune deficiency, you know? I mean, yeah, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
This is the hard reality. And so let me ask you this. How many other media outlets have you been on to share your story? How many people are willing to talk to you and get this information out?
Well, my reaching out to media has been somewhat frustrating because, as you can see, I'm always busy fighting.
Right.
The health system is my first priority to fight because we have to maintain our health and we have medically necessary things. But I can tell you I reached out. I finally decided out of desperation. I would put that last because I am a media person and I would never want to use the media for a personal situation. But I became so desperate, I did go to my own media resources who I had, you know, worked for and worked with for years and said, hey, I need help. I can't get through this mess. I've tried every way I know. I've tried all the administrative channels that you're supposed to try, and nothing's working. And here's what I've done. Here's what I found. Here's what the experts have told me. Here's where this went, that went. You know, here's my story. what can I do that I haven't thought of? And they came back to me and didn't give me, you know, go talk to this legislator or whatever. They said, hey, we know there's a problem there. We've been hearing about it. And we want to dig into this more and try to figure something out. And then they started to tell our story. And I, you know, asked them to, you know, tell it with care. I wouldn't have shared the diagnosis like I did now, like I'm kind of forced to share, because I eventually wanted my children to have a normal life and them to not have their diagnosis, their private health situation in the media forever. But especially the way, you know, with internet, well, that will live forever.
So, yeah. Yes.
We got through that and they found a way that they were going to tell our story, but, you know, show that it is affecting people. It's not just this random climate change theory. It's not just this Aaron Brockovich story or a civil action story. It is affecting people right here in your town, and this is the many ways it might be affecting people. And that was getting ready to come out, and then I have a message from the editor that worked on that with me, and the writer. The writer said that his editor had had to block the story because the city called. Because our exposure was found in the line, the city line. It wasn't a rural, you know, that's easier when it's in your own little septic area, your own rural water tank. But ours was in the city's line. So there's a lot of accountability there. There's a lot of responsibility. So it was, you know, going back to that marginalizing, and it will ruin public confidence in the utilities that they pay for. If you let that story come out, it will ruin public confidence in the nice developed areas that these people live in. It will ruin the future development of that area that's already planned, that the city makes a profit from. And if you let this come out, people won't buy houses out there. So
this is the same argument they're giving people in St. Louis. Don't talk about it because it's going to wreck the value of your home. The reality is, this is, I think, the dirty little secret, though, here, Erica. I think all across America, our infrastructure is not just weak, but it has been harmed. Yeah. Like our water supply is detrimentally harmed across. They don't want to talk about it because it's completely devastating. And so they're trying to like, let's don't talk about it. But at a certain point, it's going to be I think what we need to do is change it around so that we can develop industries to help cure the ills of the last 100 years. I'm not into guillotines. You know what I mean? I don't want to throw anybody in jail because they made a bunch of bad administrative decisions without regard to human health. I think it's imperative that this is why I'm so grateful you're willing to come on my show. Your story highlights exactly so many people, and we must change the narrative so that we can gain our health back. Your children, your grandchildren deserve a life that your children have not had. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
And that's what, there was a woman in our subdivision. In our subdivision, it was a nice master plan community that I knew the developers. The developers tried to do everything right. You can't blame the developer. They preserved the trees. They made it a nice, healthy, beautiful place. They put sidewalks through the tree areas not to kill as many trees. You know, they really tried. And a woman that lived in the area, she would come to our soccer games and tell us how she wanted us to sign petitions for different things. And this was before my kids were, you know, all very sick. And she would talk about, you know, little political disputes going on in the legislature that honestly none of us knew what the heck she was talking about. You know, we're like, what? And she's like, would you sign this for so-and-so? Well, then when this real problem hits our neighborhood that she lives in, I go to her and say, you know, you're connected. You've brought all this stuff before us before. We never know what you're talking about. Can you take this on? And she said, no, because that's my house, my property value. I don't want my property value. And I looked at her and I said, you would rather lose your children's selves, you know, and then your property value. And you would rather watch more and more people, you know, this person's been affected. Look, And she's like, I know. And even her, probably her father was affected, and probably her sister-in-law eventually died because of this. And I'm like, and you still worry about your property value. And even in Oklahoma, we had the law that came in over buildings falling down, over earthquakes, and then they related it back to the fracking. And that case shows where things have been leached into the water. But the detriment of the buildings was what was important, not our bodies, not ourselves, not what's happening physically to us, not what's putting pressure on the health system, what's putting pressure on our school system. It was that someone's front fell off of their building that was more of a concern.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's been our focus.
Well, this is the thing. I think part of what's happened with our government at every level, the city, state, county, federal, is their whole goal. I mean, this is why we have a president who believes we can run the country like a corporation. That whole goal, they are very focused on making corporations strong, protecting corporations. Like, the idea of protecting human health over corporate profit is really an unspoken no-no. No one says, nobody will openly say we will protect corporate profit over human health, but that is 100% their actions as you live through this every day.
Yeah.
But this is a shock. I mean, is there any pressure in your little local town? I know you guys have moved, so is there any, do you get support from your local community when you talk about this, or is it a different attitude now that you've moved a little bit?
Well, we moved from a town that was totally hiding it, that nobody knew at all what was going on, to a town that is a college town with both conservative and liberal views. So there's a lot of dialogue, and that has been nice to live amongst, that you don't just feel like you're the one person on the island that's like, do you not see what's going on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot of dialogue, and I would say there's probably, in the town that we live in, that's a college town, I think there's probably more dialogue for do something, realize all of this, like you're saying, and do something. And I think that the direction this is going to have to go is, and what's so alarming is that we're going to abolish what the EPA was doing. It seems alarming because then that can just get worse. But, you know, if we could figure out, there is science that shows how we could clean our resources better.
Yeah.
How do we start using that? Make that an industry.
Yeah.
Instead of going back to our old things that aren't working, you know. We have research studies that our government has paid for. The data's there. The information's there. Let's put it into use. But I understand at the same time, I am sympathetic to our government, is we can't have a crash of the industrial industry. We can't just, you know, stop the lights from working, stop the gas from being ready for the cars. So I do understand that they have a delicate balance to deal with, but they've got to confront. I mean, you can't just be pushing people aside, marginalizing them, not treating them, and waiting until they're bad again, but you're asking the industry that's going to have to pay for their care to stay when they're bad again, you know. So we've got to get some of those problems through there, where the families are able to tell the truth versus some little minimized information and record that the family doesn't even have access to correct or say is right. You know, we came up with this electrical this data. I'm sorry, I'm losing words here. I'm getting a little exhausted.
That's all right.
The EMR record, the electronic medical record, but
uh-huh.
There's no way for a person to say if the information is right in there. You know, you meet with this person, they write about your story in there for 15 minutes, and you can't say if what they wrote was even right.
Right. And you have no input on what they actually, and then sometimes this happens as a journalist, you know, that sometimes the person who writes the article will actually do a really great job, and then the editor comes in and chop, 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 and somehow a big meat of the story is gone.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way, that it's that same thing where you don't get to check the facts as the person that they're writing the story about you. But it's like that. But this is your health. This isn't a story in the media that's going to go away. This is your life. This is, you know, your health. Well, it's different. You should have an opportunity to check the story.
Well, we have a right to life, liberty, and the person. This is what Dr. John Goffman says, you know. These technologists, they have taken away our right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. With this type of behavior, you know, he puts out a position that we need to object and file lawsuits on this. This was in the 70s. This is why they basically shunned him and put him out of the nuclear industry and demeaned his work, because he spoke very clearly about this is our basic civil rights to live in our country with clean water, clean air, and to have a responsive government. Your story speaks about just your struggle just to get medical care. Forget all the other stuff. You know,
to be clear about that, you know, that struggle, if I try to tell you, you know, where did the marginalizing come from? We did not find the relation to the exposures, did not find the exposures themselves until after we had already been being marginalized by the healthcare system. It started in the healthcare system. It started with, you know, why is this family getting sick over and over again? And I know that your listeners can relate to this when this happens to them now, because it's become more widespread. You know, you start getting the, oh, well, let's blame the patient, blame the victim, like we talked about. Oh, it's your fault. You're not eating the right foods. You're not exercising enough. You're not drinking enough water. You're, you know, you must be eating trans fat. You must be doing this, doing that. You know, we've all lived it up to this point. We know it depends on how many times you come in for the same thing. And then they go through that scenario, blame you, blame the victim. And then when that doesn't hold up anymore, then you might get a diagnosis for why that continued to happen. And then you have to fight for your treatment, because you've come in so many times that the system has, you know, spent money on you all those times when they were blaming you. And then now you've gotten to the point where you want treatment, you want us to pay for more. So then you have to fight for that. And then if the treatment, you know, everybody's cells are different. Everybody's body's different. We all have different DNA, and it works different on different people, and you need different tweaks and things, but our system is so, you know, financially stressed that it's our experience that they want you to respond a certain way to the treatment. And then if you don't respond, then I guess it's not working. And that's not always true. So there, you know, there's a lot more to it. And frankly, physicians need their role back, where they get to say, well, this treatment isn't working like this, so I want to add this. I want to change the dose. I want to give them a little bit more for this particular individual. You know, they need their liberties back that they've lost.
And
I really do feel sympathy for the medical people, as they're called in this scenario of whose fault is what, because, you know, they're trying to survive every day the same way we are. I understand that. And they're under the constraints of, well, you can do this for this person, but you can't. And how awful to have to do your job that way. You know, you're supposed to be a healer. You're supposed to be a lifesaver. And you're being told every day what you can and cannot do. And you basically have to become skilled in lying to the patient.
That's
convince
exactly
them.
Right.
And that's so wrong and so awful. And that's the model that we need to change. We need to change that the physician needs their right back to take care of the patient like they took an oath to. And the systems need to figure out how to fund them to do that. Or if these people keep being polluted and exposed, we need to figure out how to, you know, curtail that so that it takes some of that stress off the system. But that, as you've heard Trump say, I've inherited a mess. This is a mess. Well, I don't think he's wrong. And I think, you know, he came in with good intentions, wanting to be the leader. And he's like, how do I lead this? You know, how do I put everybody
well, the
in the
thing
right
is,
place?
It doesn't,
so many places.
For me, I think we've seen it doesn't matter which party's in the White House, which president is in the White House. The whole, the the White House is captured. We really have to have a change of conversation. We really have to change in my view, the culture. We have to put life over profit. So far, like your doctor, the doctors are not allowed to tell you the truth because they'll lose their jobs. Well, who along the food chain? When we make profit for healthcare and profit, we basically have healthcare for profit. DeVos wants to make schools for profit. We have prisons for profit. And we see that if you're doing something that's not working, just stop doing it. It's not working. We're destroying our country. And not just our nation, we're destroying our land and the people on it. So, I think it's very important. I encourage everybody to get actively engaged at the local level and at your city level and at the, federal level, because we do have a government. We can pretend it's not there and we can say it's really bad, but we have something that's a structure somehow. So when we contact them, we change their culture. We let them know that that's not acceptable. And what is your suggestion for people that want to get actively engaged and make an effort to a difference? I mean, we can go stand out with signposts. That doesn't seem to help. We had 5 million people in the streets the day after Trump was elected. Not much change. So what can we do? What do you suggest?
Well, I think, we have to write letters and tell our stories, and we have to speak up for those who are being marginalized,
right,
and speak up for those who we see that are continuing to be sick and tell their story for them, because they're so caught up in surviving and trying to stay alive. If you're one of the lucky ones that's not in that scenario, I think you have to say, hey, my neighbor has had this, and this, and I know they're good people. I know they didn't do anything wrong. I know they don't have behavioral problems. Something is wrong here. I need you to fix it. This is what I'm seeing in my community. I don't see that, putting this new pipeline through here, reactor, will help. And this is why. This is why I think it won't help. This is what I've seen. Because they're just getting the side of the professional lobbyist or whoever.
Right.
That says,
well, it's kind of like what's happened, President Trump allowed the pipeline, the Dakota Access Pipeline, to go through. He's asked Xcel to bring the pipeline in. The Keystone Pipeline will be here. There's a whole bunch of routes of pipelines. But as we've seen, in less than the 4 months that he has been president and signed that thing into office, there have been several leaks, along the Dakota Access Pipeline. And it goes again to the same scenario that caused your problem, is that corporations can run their businesses without regard to human health. And so they can create leaks, they can create spills, they can put chemicals in, and nobody's really holding them accountable.
But think about that, all the technology we have.
Right.
And you couldn't put some kind of pressure sensors in those lines to know that the leak was coming, or, those are things. But that would cost more money and you would lose more profit. But those are things that but let's get back to our science and our technology. Of we've spent all this money to develop these ways to do things, and are we using them?
And that brings back
the process.
We do have solutions. This is the thing that's the most frustrating. Even in the nuclear mess that goes on, a lot of these, we do have technology and solutions that are being suppressed so that they can maximize their profits. And the collusion from our elected officials along the road, like even you, your city council laid a heavy hand on your local station to suppress the story that you gave. We are really at a crisis time where we really have to be much more vocal so that our voices and our sanity are more vocal and louder than the insanity of the people oppressing us. I don't know if we have any other choice.
Our technology is that we have new cars that are going to be able to drive themselves, but we don't know when a pipe's going to bust.
Right, exactly.
We don't know when, you can watch the BP story, all the employees were telling higher up, hey, this isn't safe. You've cut a corner here.
That's right.
I mean, it's just an example of how that might happen. And but you know what I am proud of is that our country is letting that story come out in the media. It's not being blocked anymore. Because
you know
I think
what?
Those things were happening and they were blocked. And our media, who's supposed to always remain objective, was allowing corporate to block that. And that's not American. That's not the country we've celebrated and we've loved our lives to have that. So I am proud of that, that we did tell that after they went ahead and went through and did the pipeline, that there was a leak. Because we could have just not told that.
Well, I think that's, you know, the American spirit. I mean, you know, this is the thing. I think that's why they fundamentally that people do rise up, because in America, every American has a sense that we have a right to free speech. Now, the Unpatriot Act may have tried to, you know, withhold how much we can talk, but people are finding ways to get out and speak. And I think that speaks a lot to our American character, because we're most Americans, I find, are very willing to speak out, say their truth, and frankly, most people want to get along. Like, it doesn't matter which side of the aisle, how you think we should face economics, most people want to get along and want to cooperate. And I think once we really face these issues, that we will find a way to get the solutions out. And I don't know. I have to say, we have 4 minutes left, Erica. I am very, very grateful that you hung in there for the full hour and really are willing to share your story. I hope in 6 weeks or so you can come back and update us on anything that might have happened, or feel free to come back, because I think it's very important. Most people do not hear about the plight of the people that in the heart of our country who are suffering severe medical conditions because of, like you said, oppression from the corporations.
Yeah, and I don't know, what am I supposed to do if I don't continue to fight the system and get her another doctor again and again and again? Am I supposed to take her to the utility office in the city where I was and say, here, my child's sick and you've blocked every doctor. What are you going to do with her? I mean,
wow.
It's not a solution. It's not a solution, and we absolutely need solutions. And I know that our government isn't moving on solutions because they're hard. And I do have sympathy for that, but we need to remind them to go back to all the research and the science we have and come up with a solution and tell them what's happening in our communities and tell them why. And you're doing a good service by trying to do that with letting people have their stories when they weren't able to have them.
Thank you. I think it's really important. I have this phrase I read a long time ago, responsibility looks forward, blame looks backwards, right? So we want to be responsible parties. I'm not interested in blaming the system or, you know, sending anybody to jail, but I think it's very important that we reset the conversation into, okay, we've created this big mess in the last 100 years. Let's make billions of dollars creating new industries, resolving the problem. That's our mission in the next two centuries, if we get to make it through the next two centuries. So you've been listening to Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show with Erica Dugan of out in Oklahoma. And we really appreciate you sharing this radio station. Thank you, Erica, for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Put your courage feet on, you guys. Take some action. Lean into it. There is something that you can do. Every voice matters. We need everyone. We are in a critical time. So put your courage feet on and take action. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.